In Canada, you see his work everywhere. An original by Norvell Morrison. Priceless. But
it became clear that there were more and more fakes.
A story that impacts Indigenous artists around the world.
How has nobody ever looked into this?
Forgeries, fakes, and fortunes to be made. An art fraud of epic proportions.
I either have to let this go or try to find out what the truth is.
Binge the full series now on the ABC Listen app or weekly wherever you get your podcasts.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
When I say the words Egyptian mummy, what image springs to mind? Well, if you're anything like me, you're probably seeing a mummy as they're portrayed in pop culture, lying prone in a sarcophagus, wrapped in bandages, all leathery skin and sunken hollow eyes. Well, Egyptologists reckon that this archetype of mummies we have is based on the actual mummified remains of Pharaoh Ramses III. But this pharaoh, the very model of the Hollywood mummy, was also at the center of an ancient murder mystery. Ramses III was the last of Egypt's great pharaohs, a savior of the empire, a military genius, a god king. He commanded vast armies, directed thousands of slaves to build jaw-dropping monuments, and forged a fearsome reputation for his kingdom. But for the longest time, no one, not even our best experts, could explain how Ramses III died. The mummified body showed no obvious wounds, no signs of battle, no visible disease, no clue as to what ended the life of Egypt's last warrior pharaoh. Could Ramses have died peacefully in his sleep of old age? Not on this show, my friend. Was he struck down by a sudden illness? Or was there something more sinister at play? For over 3,000 years, we just didn't know. Talk about a cold case. But then, in 2012, a team of scientists noticed particularly thick layers of bandages wrapped around Ramses III's neck. Maybe the clue they needed to crack the case lay hidden beneath layers of linen. And so, using cutting-edge technology to investigate the ancient remains, a CT scan peers beneath the bandages, its high-powered X-ray imaging revealing secrets hidden beneath the pharaoh's skin. And there, concealed for millennia, they found a brutal wound. A single slash to the throat, so deep it cut through Ramses' windpipe, severed arteries, and even reached the bone of his spine. It's the kind of wound that could have only one cause. Murder. A second scan revealed another injury. His big toe had been hacked off, struck by a sharp, heavy weapon, like an axe or a sword. The lack of healing suggested it happened around the same time as the fatal cut. Multiple wounds, multiple weapons, multiple attackers. This was no accident. This was an assassination. A coordinated strike against Egypt's most powerful man. Hello, my friend. I'm Aslan Pahari, and this is Assassins, the show where we unravel history's most shocking assassinations. And today, it's an ancient mystery solved by modern science. Who took down the pharaoh? A foreign enemy? A rival faction? Or was the true killer hiding in plain sight? Someone inside the palace itself, one of Ramses' closest confidants. And what terrifying punishment would await those that betrayed a pharaoh? During the reign of Ramses III, over 3,000 years ago, Egypt is a land of immense wealth. Towering temples, golden palaces, all under the divine rule of the pharaoh. Ramses rules from either side of the River Nile during his 3 decades in power, from both the city of Luxor, known then as Thebes, and from the site of his great temple in Medinet Habu, close to the Valley of Kings. Ramses III is a pharaoh's pharaoh. Although in his 60s when he died, his mummified remains suggest an imposing, muscular build. Wait, this guy was mummified in his 60s and he's still jacked. How unfair. Wish I had those pharaoh genetics. To his people, Ramses is not just a king. He's a living god, a warrior proven in battle, defending Egypt from chaos and destruction. But even the greatest rulers make enemies. And for Ramses III, those enemies are everywhere. At first, it seems as if the reign of Ramses III is destined to end almost as soon as it had begun. It's 1187 BC when Ramses III comes to power, and his timing couldn't be worse. After 2,000 years of stability, Egypt's borders are suddenly under threat. In the 5th year of his reign, Ramses faces the Libyans invading from the west. But he's ready for them. Twice, the invaders are crushed. In one battle, Ramses kills thousands of Libyan warriors and takes many more prisoners. Their leaders are executed and their families paraded through the streets in chains. A vicious warning to anyone dares challenge Egyptian might. But not everyone gets the memo. A terrifying and mysterious group known only as the Sea Peoples are sweeping through the Mediterranean, leaving entire civilizations in ruin. Kingdoms fall before them, cities burn. It seems that no army can stop their relentless advance. And then, the Sea Peoples reach Egypt. Once again, Ramses meets them head-on. First, defeating them on land before ordering every one of his ships to lie in wait at the mouth of the Nile. Egyptian archers rain arrows from their warships, overturning the boats of the Sea People, watching as their enemies drown. Even today, you can see scenes from the battle carved into the walls of Medinet Habu. Ramses does what no other ruler had managed. He defeats the Sea Peoples. And the message this victory sends is clear. Ramses is unstoppable. So how did this unstoppable pharaoh end up with his head almost severed? Well, war comes at a cost. The fighting drains Egypt's wealth. Gold, grain, resources, everything is being spent to keep the kingdom safe. And as the treasury empties, the people suffer. Hunger spreads, farmers struggle, even the workers building the pharaoh's tombs go on strike, refusing to continue until they're paid. It's the first recorded labor strike in history. So, as well as the architecture and engineering, the maths, medicine, and astronomy, ancient Egypt gives us unions. Quite a poke in the eye for a divine ruler. But this hunger, this anger, they're signs that cracks are forming in the mighty empire. And these cracks are far more serious than any threat from outside forces. Inside the royal palace, power begins to slip from the pharaoh's grasp. Corruption spreads through the government. Officials, who had once feared the pharaoh, now plot and scheme behind his back. Ramses still wears the crown, but his strength is waning. And when a ruler is weak, enemies rise. Was the greatest threat to Ramses III's rule not the Libyans? Not the Sea Peoples, but rather those inside his own palace, his own family, his own trusted court? Inside the grand palace of Ramses III, a deadly plot is forming. It starts in the royal harem, a group of rival queens who live lives of luxury and secrets. At the center of the conspiracy is Queen Tia. Tia is one of Ramses III's many wives, but she isn't the queen mother. Her son, Prince Pentaway, isn't the rightful heir. That title belongs to Ramses IV, the pharaoh's chosen successor. But her husband has underestimated her. Queen Tia has other plans. She wants her son to be pharaoh. And for that to happen, Ramses III has to die. Tia can't act alone. She needs allies, and she finds them in the shadows of the palace. High-ranking officials, servants of the harem, military officers, even magicians. Magicians! What are they gonna do, saw him in half? But the magicians play their part. Spells are cast, omens are read, and dark rituals performed. An attempt to bend fate itself in their favor. We can see it all in ancient texts. Conspirators moving in secret, passing messages, forging alliances, waiting for the perfect moment to strike. And when they do, it's merciless. You come at the king, you best not miss. Some believe Ramses III was poisoned first, weakened before the final attack. Whatever happened, there was no subtlety in his death. When the moment came, a blade was drawn, slicing deep across Ramses III's throat. So deep that the pharaoh was almost beheaded. For thousands of years, historians debated whether the conspiracy had even succeeded. Ancient records speak of a plot, but never confirm if the pharaoh had actually been murdered. The truth had been hidden beneath those layers of linen. A massive cut, a gaping wound, a final betrayal. And buried within that wound, something else. Deep inside the cut, embalmers had placed a small amulet. An eye of Horus, a symbol of healing and protection. Even in death, they had tried to save him. But no magic, no ritual could undo what had already been done. There was, however, revenge. The pharaoh was dead, but the conspirators had made a critical mistake. Their secret plot hadn't remained a secret for long. Word of the conspiracy spread through the palace. Servants whisper, officials panic. The entire court holds its breath as the weight of what happened sinks in. Who would rule Egypt now? Had Queen Tia's plan succeeded? Would her son, Prince Pentaway, take the throne? No, my friend. Instead, justice comes swiftly. A massive investigation is launched. The conspirators are arrested, dragged before the court in what becomes one of the most infamous trials in Egyptian history. All the details are captured in an ancient document known as the Judicial Papyrus of Turin. These days, it'll be captured in a true crime podcast. The trial implicates dozens of people in the assassination. Palace officials, guards, members of the royal harem, even high-ranking generals. One by one, the conspirators are found guilty. Some are sentenced to death, executed for their treason, but others, including Prince Pentaway himself, are given a far more terrifying punishment. First, they are forced to take their own lives. Scholars disagree about whether Prince Pentaway hanged himself or consumed poison. But either way, death is only the beginning of his punishment. Next, the conspirators are buried in disgrace. Unlike other royals, Pentaway isn't mummified with honor. His body is wrapped in animal skin, a material considered impure by ancient Egyptians. His mouth is stretched wide open in agony. This screaming pose is a disturbing sight when compared to the carefully sealed lips of traditional mummies. To the ancient Egyptians, this is more than a punishment. It's a curse, a warning to all who might dare betray the pharaoh's bloodline. The trial revealed just how divided the royal court had become. Loyalties were shattered, trust was broken, the empire was rotting from the head. And the cracks that had begun to show under Ramses III would only grow wider with his death. The assassination of Ramses III left a scar on Egypt itself. The pharaohs who follow his reign are weaker, often unfit to rule. Priests and regional governors, once loyal to the throne, began ruling as if they were kings themselves. And within a century, Egypt is no longer what it had once been. Everything that followed the assassination, the economic struggles, the political corruption, could be traced back to the moment Ramses III's throat was cut. Assassins is hosted by me, Aslan Pahari. Hannah Jose is the producer. Production support from Yvonne Hong and Matteo Baskaran. Sound design by John Jacobs. Sophie Townsend is our script consultant. Executive producers are Joel Werner, Eric George, and Jessica Radburn. As well as listening to Assassins, you can watch full episodes of the show on YouTube and Spotify. Those videos are shot and edited by Tejas Bhatt. If there's an assassination you think we should cover on the show, please email us, assassins@abc.net.au. I hope to hear from you soon, my friend.